Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Well, tonight is I don't even know how to express what tonight is. Tonight's an interesting, unusual, action-packed, too much talent for one night.
Oh, no way. Not on Loveline, man. It's all about action-packed.
That voice you hear is Fred Durst. Of course, you know him from Limp Bizkit. And he brought some friends in tonight. First of all, he brought Scott Thomas from Ringside. Right?
Yes, I did. He's a wonderful, wonderfully talented person, and he's about to do a live performance on the air for us tonight.
On the organ. He'll be playing the organ or the guitar?
Well, depending on which song they do, he'll either be playing the guitar or the organ.
Okay.
And he brought a...
And his cohort will be?
Brian Bell.
From Weezer.
Yes.
And then those guys are going to join us for about an hour, and then maybe in the 11 o'clock hour, provided he shows up, which I'm sure he will, we have...
Wes Scanlon from Puddle of Mud.
Wes Scanlon from Puddle of Mud, and he's going to perform. So I suggest this be a show you all kind of stay tuned and listen to. And in the meantime, it's me and Fred. And you'll just have to sort of get through that to get to the other guys.
Oh, that's the best part. Thank them all. Yeah.
All right, let's take some calls, shall we? Because we got so much to do tonight. I think we got to take calls. Unless you have something else on your mind.
No, I say let's take call immediately.
Okay, let's do it. This is Roman, 19. What's up, Roman?
What's up, Dr. Drew?
What's going on?
A bunch of... Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, hold on. We have to reset that again. Let's see. You said one sentence with what's up, and the second sentence dropped the S-bomb. That's good. Two sentences in, got a big expletive.
You know.
Let's try this one. This is Katrina. Katrina, what's up? Roman, hold on. We'll get back to you.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing. I just had a question.
Yep.
How do you approach your parents about, like, when you're ready to have sex?
Are you more at ease with one parent?
Yeah. Like, I don't talk to my dad because he left, and so I talk to my mom a lot.
Okay.
But I just don't know how to, like, talk to her about sex, so.
Oh, really? So she hasn't really brought this up with you yet, huh?
No.
It'd be interesting if you brought it up. If you were to try to bring it up, how do you think you'd approach it?
I have no idea.
Sorry. How about just ask for guidance?
Uh-huh.
Mom, the boy thing is confusing me.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
You could get that back. It could happen. But I think the important thing is not what you begin talking about, but that you begin talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if you're the one that can initiate it, which is really interesting, it's usually not the child that initiates, and it's unfortunate that you have to sort of bear that burden, but so be it. I mean, you got to get, as long as you're willing to get the conversation going and you want the conversation, which I think is very positive for you.
Yeah.
Bring it up, just, and bring it up in very open-ended terms, just the way I recommend parents do it with their kids,
yeah.
Which is, I'm confused. I need some guidance.
Okay.
Tell me what you think. I'm interested in your opinion. And she will probably be so relieved to be able to have the opportunity to tell you.
You no good hooligan.
You could hear something like that.
Okay.
You could. Is she pretty cool generally?
Yeah.
Fred, what do you think?
That was my question. I mean, what type of parents do you have? What do you think or assume their reaction's going to be if you brought up something like that?
Well, I've never really talked to my mom about sex, so I'm not really sure, like, what she'd think about it. So, like, I've never really, like, yeah, never really talked to her about it.
I think you ought to ease into it by starting with just relationships.
Uh-huh.
But have an eye towards getting to the sexual material. Because she may come right out with it. Again, you open those doors up and people, you know, they're grateful for the opportunity to talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, like, birth control, like, I don't know, because, like there's this guy, and we've done it just once, but, ooh, like, I get nervous about it, and so, it will, like, I'm not sure what she would also say about birth control.
What are you doing for birth control?
Well, I've never taken it or anything like that.
What did you do with the one time you had sex with the guy?
A condom.
And everything stayed on and worked okay?
Yeah.
Okay. What about going to Planned Parenthood and talking to an adult professional?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be the other thing you need to do. And maybe if you can't seem to get through all this with your parent, your mom, maybe the thing to do is to ask her to take you to a doctor, take you to Planned Parenthood, that kind of thing. All right, Roma, we're giving you another chance.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry, audience. All right.
Well, they didn't hear it, so it's all right.
Excuse my language.
All right. My I suspected my girlfriend of cheating on me with my roommate, and I
Why?
Well, she came at me with like these accusations that I was cheating on her, like interested in other girls, and it was like I tracked that statement down to my roommate, and I was like, I called him on it. I was like, you're lying to my girlfriend, you know? And he was like, oh, well, I'll talk to her. I didn't mean it like that. Like, she just got the wrong interpretation, right? And so, like, we actually ended up going on a break because of, like, what she had heard from my roommate. Ooh. And then, like, I'd see her, like, with someone or whatever, and I'd call up my roommate and call up her, and she'll be like, I'm not with anyone. But my roommate, like, won't answer. My roommate, like, his phone would be off and stuff. It'd just, like, they both disappeared at the same time together. And
what finally happened?
Yeah, I finally, like, I staked out her house, and, like, I waited for him, and he came outside that morning, and like,
ooh,
it sucked to be right.
Oh, that's awful. I'm so sorry. What'd you do?
Well, I don't know. Like, I was hurt, and she was sad. Like, I kind of
liar, whore, and you know it.
I exposed my roommate for like his lies and stuff, and I actually ended up like taking her back. Like, she's saying like, I still want to be your friend. I still need you in my life. Like, but I can't, you know, be in a relationship right now. And I told her, like, it's all or nothing. I can't go down a peg. I can't just be your friend. It was like, you got to make things better. So she said, okay, I want to be your girlfriend. And then a few days later, like, she's kind of blowing me off again. And I talked to her today, and she's like, I can't do it.
All right, what's your question?
Well, she still wants to be friends. She still, like, wants me to be in her life. She's like, I want you to come get a puppy with me. And I feel stupid for, like, wanting to. And just, like, I can't, like, I don't know. Should I just get away?
Stupid. Stupid's a pretty good word for to describe what you're thinking about doing. Because stupid is one word, and torture is the other. You're stupid enough to put yourself in a position of being tortured. Anything, Fred?
I think it's time to pack the bags and not worry about that one
yeah,
anymore.
I really think, I agree with Fred Durst, I think that you need a six-month moratorium. If it's a relationship that you're still conflicted about and having difficulty leaving, 6 months, cold turkey, no. Do not have any contact with her whatsoever. And by the way, she can't have her cake and eat it too. She can retain the friendship, but I can't do anything more than that. Sorry. Anyway, I want you for a good friend. Now, listen, and guys have real trouble with that. They usually can't do that, and especially not until you've had a good period of time for allow those feelings to kind of cool. 6 months minimum. Charity, what's up?
Hi. I have a problem that I wanted some advice about.
You're on with Fred Durst. What's going on?
Me and my boyfriend have been in a relationship for about 4 months, and he wants to have sex, and I don't. All I want to give him is oral, and I'm worried he's going to break up with me. What am I supposed to do?
Fred?
Well, one thing, you definitely shouldn't be worried that he's going to break up with you, because if he breaks up with you over that, then maybe you guys are an unbalanced team in the first place. I don't know. I mean, it depends. There could be a lot of factors playing in on this, right?
What is your reasoning for no sex?
Because we haven't been together long enough.
So you're just not ready to be that intimate with him?
Well, yeah.
How long have you been together with him?
4 months.
All right, and he doesn't understand that?
I guess not.
I agree with Fred. I do.
Yes.
I just think it may just be that this thing is not meant to be. If he can't wait it out and feel it's important to you that he do sort of hang out a little bit longer before you get that intimate. I think, what do you call it? Imbalance in the relationship?
An unbalanced.
Unbalanced relationship.
Yeah.
I like that. Amy, 15.
Hi.
Hi, Amy. You're on with Fred Durst.
The other day I was fooling around with my boyfriend, and I was giving him a hand job, and I wasn't paying attention to where I was pointing. And when he came, it got in my face and in my eye. And
stand by, Brian Bell from Weezer, Wes Scantlin from Puddle of Mud, Scott Thomas from Ringside. It's good times, good times. What's that, Amy?
And it got in my eye, and like the next day my eye started itching, and then the next day after that, my eye was totally bloodshot, and I went to the doctor, and I have pink eye, and I wanted to know if that had any, like, correlation with the sperm in the eye and the pink eye.
I suspect, yes, unless you're getting pink eye all the time. And the sperm in the eye all the time. Either of those things, if they're just sort of random events and all of a sudden become associated with pink eye. But look, pink eye just is a description. It doesn't mean a damn thing. Pink eye means your eye is red. It's just a description.
Really?
Pink eye. That's all it means. Hmm. Now, usually what people are talking about is a viral or even allergic conjunctivitis. The redness is the lining of the eye getting inflamed. And yes, there can be sort of a chemical irritation from that. The more serious issue, though, is you can transmit chlamydia to the eye, and it can even cause a chronic chlamydia. So you actually, it's not funny, because you actually have to tell the doctor in order to treat that.
He's a virgin, so I don't think he, has chlamydia. Or, I don't know.
Well, the point being, it's a serious eye infection if you do get exposed to it. And the only way you can get cured for it is if you tell the doctor what happened.
Okay.
If you don't, yeah, you could lose your vision in that eye. So anyway, good times. And gonorrhea causes an eye infection too. It's not funny. It's really not funny, Amy. This didn't happen to you? Is that why you can laugh about it? This didn't actually happen.
No, it did happen to me. A lot of people are making fun of me now.
Making fun of you because you have a red eye or have an eye infection?
Because they know why. Yeah, I was they made fun of me because, yeah.
Did you tell everybody?
No, I told my best friend who happened to tell my other best friend who happens to have a really big mouth.
Cool best friends.
Yeah.
Explain to me the laughter.
I'm really nervous.
Okay. Because yeah. It's not at all funny. And you need to, unfortunately, if it doesn't clear up, you got to talk to the doctor again about the circumstances of the infection.
Okay?
Because it does require some specific kinds of intervention if it doesn't clear. True, 18, what's up?
Hi. I was wondering if I had sex about a week ago with my boyfriend, and we had sex on my period, and we didn't use any protection or anything, and he didn't pull out.
What are the chances?
Well, I think they're very high if you guys are the fertile type of people.
Yeah, if you don't have a job and you don't have a way to support yourself, it's guaranteed. True, just because you're on your period doesn't mean you can't get pregnant. Of course, it's less likely, but it doesn't mean you can't get pregnant. So I believe that if you have any mishap at any time, you should take the morning after pill.
Oh, I can't take birth control. That's the only problem.
Why?
Because any form of birth control always gives me ovarian cysts on my ovaries.
Okay, this wouldn't do that. You need to take the morning after pill.
Okay.
Okay?
Uh-huh. Thank you.
All right. And by the way, when did this happen?
What?
When did this happen?
Like a week ago.
Yeah, so it's too long. And how many different pills have you tried?
Pretty much almost everything on the market. I've taken the shot. I've got the surgical procedure where they stick the thing, blah, blah, blah. I've used a ring, and everything always ends up giving me medical problems.
Like what?
I've always, any birth control that I've taken has given me ovarian cysts.
But that's not a medical problem. That's just sort of a side effect.
Well, okay, a side effect, not a medical problem. But okay. The shot made the ovarian cyst, because there was already one there and I didn't know it. The shot made it explode, and then I almost had to have my ovary taken out. So ever since then, I have been don't want to take birth control because I'm scared.
Okay.
Of it.
Well, the emergency contraceptive, you only are exposed to it for 12 hours. It really can't do any cyst forming. It doesn't. Okay. But it's too late anyway. So but get a pregnancy test. That'd be the first order of business. Oh, Fred, what's going on out there?
Well, a lot of things. That are very interesting. I'm learning a lot.
Jenny, what's up, Jenny? You're on with Fred Durst.
Hi, I'm Colleen. I've been dating a guy for a few months, and every time that we've had sex, it takes him a long time to get hard, and then if he does, then he's immediately done. And I know that guys have issues with that, but it seems like it's two different problems, and I don't know if that's a dysfunction or if it's something I should talk to him about.
With what?
I just don't know if it's something I should talk.
Oh, Jen, you're fading in and out. Are you still with us? Oh, damn. Well, what should she do?
maybe change your cellular.
Cell phone service?
Cell phone service.
Maybe starters. So he has trouble getting an erection, and once he does, he's a Minuteman. That is a bad combination. Oh, she's gone. That's a bad combination.
Yeah, what would you suggest to somebody in that circumstance?
Well, I would definitely find out if there was perhaps a medical problem. And see if he's on medication or what, because this is not, the trouble having the erection just doesn't kind of fit with the rapid ejaculation. And there are psychological reasons that people can get into trouble like that, but that's pretty unusual. The fact is that most of these things do have a biological basis. And in fact, if he's an older guy, it can be really a significant sign of medical problems, the trouble having an erection. Then the quick to ejaculation, yeah, just worry about there being medication or something involved here. It just doesn't sit right with me. But we'd have to know a lot more about him. So let's take some more calls. This is Jason. What's up?
Oh, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Fred, nice to meet you. Hey, just wanted to ask a herpes question. I'm pretty sure I have the kind that is on the lip, if it's, in fact, herpes. And I'm wondering if it can become the kind that is in the genital area.
Yes. Well, not on you, but if you put your mouth during an outbreak on somebody else's genitalia, it's on their genitalia.
Okay, yeah, I was curious about that. So, but just on me, it can't develop into more than what it is?
Very unlikely. I mean, that doesn't happen very often at all. There is such a thing as called auto-inoculation, but that really doesn't happen.
Okay, so the different types just stay the type that they are?
Yes, they stay where they are. Your immune system is already busily controlling it where you got infected.
I see. Okay.
Next caller!
There we go. Thank you, Anderson. Shane, what's up, Shane?
Hi, I have a question for Fred.
Okay.
Hey, what's up, man? I'm a fan of Limp Bizkit, and back in the day, I got a bootleg of yours, I'm sorry, of a concert you did in Rochester, New York. Mm-hmm. And you did a cover of Jane Addiction's Jane Says.
Right.
And it blew my mind. I was wondering, is that something you guys had done a lot on tour, or what was the inspiration behind doing that cover?
Well, you know, I'm a big Jane's Addiction fan, big Perry Farrell fan, and we would always mess around with that version of that song in soundcheck, and each night we play a concert, we like to be loose with our set list, and I just throw it out there, and we just played it. I actually remember the few times we played that, and bootlegs aren't bad, so you don't have to apologize. I love bootlegs.
You gotta love a kid for trying.
Right on. Well, cool, man. I just appreciate the music.
All right, Shane, thanks very much. This is Matthew. What's up, Matthew? We're on with Fred Durst.
Hi, Dr. Jerome. Big fan of the show. Hi, Fred.
Thank you.
Hi.
Soon we're going to have Scott Thomas from Ringside, Brian Bell from Weezer, Wes Gantlin from Puddle of Mud. They'll be in here shortly.
All right. My question is for Drew. If, like, the different kind of condoms, do they help? Like, say, like, spermicide, is that any better than, say, a regular condom?
No. In fact, the World Health Organization has been struggling with this issue in that there were some studies that suggested the presence of spermicide actually increased the risk for transmission of, say, HIV and viral conditions, the thinking being that the spermicide was a slight irritant and that thereby could somehow increase the transmissibility. I think most people are thinking that at very minimum it just doesn't do anything.
Yeah?
It doesn't do anything in terms of infectious disease.
What about against pregnancy?
Probably doesn't do much.
No?
The condom, no. The condom is the main thing.
If you just use a condom and she's not on birth control, what do you think the chances are?
About 88% that you're going to be fine. If you use the condom properly, really, if you use it properly and are cautious and careful and put it on properly and, you know, hold the base of it when you pull out and all that kind of good stuff, it approaches 100%. I mean, they're very effective if they're used properly.
What if you didn't ejaculate inside of her? Because I stopped early because I was hurting her, so.
What's that?
I stopped earlier because I was hurting her, so I pulled
with
out
the,
before I
with the condom. With the condom on. Yeah, so that's got to be close to zero.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. I love that people get so nervous. They're on the pill, the condom, they have a sponge in. It's like, just forget about the sex. It's a good sign that they're being conscientious, but just don't bother with the sex. Just leave that part out. Jennifer, what's up?
Hi, Hi. Yeah. Okay, my question is, I've been married for 2 years now, and every time me and my boyfriend, or husband, sorry, we're having sex and he ejaculates in me, I've been trying to get pregnant, his
you know, when he ejaculates in me, it kind of spills out, and I've been trying to get pregnant for like a year. I don't know if that's normal or I don't know.
Yes, that's normal.
Okay.
That's normal. It always comes out in everybody.
And
pretty much. If enough goes in, anyway, let's put it that way. And your difficulty getting pregnant has absolutely nothing to do with that.
What if they walk around on their hands all day, though?
If they stand on their head for 3 hours afterwards, it will not help.
Okay. All right. Well, that kind of answers my question.
But you do need to get a fertility evaluation. There are hundreds.
I've gotten a fertility test, and I'm fine. I don't know if you should get one.
What do you mean you got a fertility test?
I'm fine. I went, you know, because I thought I couldn't get pregnant, and then he went, and he hasn't gone, and it just hasn't happened yet.
Jennifer?
Yes.
How were you tested for your fertility?
I got a pap smear done.
Yeah, and that's it?
No. Then my pap smear results came in, and they did a fertility test. They took something out of my ovaries, but I'm not sure, and they said I was fine, that
That is nothing. You've had nothing so far, okay? You need to go back in, say, we've been trying a year. We need to see a fertility specialist. You need something called a hysterosalpingogram, where they check the function of your tubes. He needs a sperm count. You'll need some autoimmune testing, some basic thyroid and hormonal functioning. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be done here to find out why you're not getting pregnant. Then you get into the fancier stuff about how the egg and the sperm relate to one another. There's thousands of things that can go wrong, none of which have been evaluated yet for you. So, okay?
Okay.
So get things checked out.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Fred Durst in here, everybody. Puddle of Mud, Wes Scantlin coming in the next hour. And coming up after this, again after this little commercial break, Scott Thomas from Ringside and Brian Bell from Weezer are going to join us. They're going to perform, and they're going to answer a few calls with you guys, yes?
Sweet.
You guys know Fred, from Limp Bizkit, and he's producing a couple of films and a TV show, and he's got a label now, which Puddle of Mud, Ringside, and She Wants Revenge participate. He's going to be with us here all night, and we'll be right back after this.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline will be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Well, first of all, we had Fred Durst, and then he invited a bunch of friends.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to keep it low-key, but it's my last night.
And so he's bringing everybody in, and we got Scott Thomas from Ringside, Brian Bell from Weezer, and they've been sounding amazing, and we're trying to decide how to get them where they should play. You want to try it, Corey?
If you want to try it, we can try it.
Engineer Corey says he's freaking out because he hasn't had a chance to check levels.
But are the mics working?
Yeah, everyone's ready to go.
Talk,
there's no mic on this guitar amp.
We're going to use this one.
Oh, yeah.
We just got a little room going here. That's
fine. You want to try it?
This is totally live, everybody out there listening. I mean, this is unrehearsed live radio.
Hey.
Scott, let me hear your voice. Just check.
Check, 1, 2.
Sounds good.
Are we going to do it like that? Well, introduce the song, everybody. This is one of my artists, Ringside, Scott Thomas. Hey there. Okay, this is called Criminal. Can't hide, and I'm frustrated.
try to medicate it, but nothing's as strong as the damage I've done. Why does everybody run away?
The old days of radio, we bring guys in here and they would just play.
It's just, thank you, guys. That's what it feels like.
That is Rings Guy. Scott Thomas, Brian Bell from Weezer. Guys, step on up to the mics here a little bit. Wait, let's, why don't you share?
Hey, what if I take this one off the keyboard?
That'd be perfect. There you go. Why don't you take the one from there? You go. All right, you guys.
And we need really good, Scott.
Seriously,
that
was a wild one.
That was so good.
There we go. Brian's
going. I'm blown away. I feel like proud.
Proud dad.
Thank you, Papa.
You guys need to talk right into the microphones. Like direct. Okay. There you go.
She's all right, not guys. Working with me here.
And you guys had just finished saying as you walked in here dragging your equipment in that Fred and I made sex seem so not sexy. Wasn't he, Brian?
No, I think the callers make sex not sexy. I think,
all right. Well, let's see.
You what guys make sex very sexy.
Let's see how you guys feel when we take a few more calls. This is Eli. What's up, Eli? You're on with Brian, Scott, and Fred. Eli?
Dr. Drew?
Yes, sir. What's up?
Hey, Dr. Yu, how are you doing? Long time listener. I'm the first time caller. I'm really happy that I got in, guys. My question is, first of all, Fred, you're awesome, dude. I really like everything about you.
I heard that sip, Ellie. You were going to say he's hot.
I know.
You're hot. I mean, I love you. I mean, everything you do is great.
No, okay, let's get back to my question because I'm
sir.
Kind of concerned about it.
Yes, let's get to it.
Okay, Dr. I have a girlfriend. She's Muslim. I'm Muslim. Mm-hmm. And what my concern is that her vagina is sewn. According to her, she's circumcised.
Well, now, wait a minute. You described two different things. The vagina being sewn shut is different than a circumcision.
Okay, well, that's what she told me. It is considered as a circumcision in her country because what it is, She was 4 years old, and she got it sewn because her family was concerned about the premature sex, you know, like, so they won't go to sex. So what she told me that her mom basically leave the little bit of the part open so she can still have the babies. But
no, so she can urinate, too, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
That's what country is this that they do that?
She is from Somalia.
Wow, that's incredible.
I didn't know it when I was with her, and I mean, obviously I'm not gonna ask her for the first day, but I mean later on after 2-3 months, you know, that we got intimate, I kind of got weird first of all, but then I'm like, you know, like I like her and everything, so that shouldn't be the concern about. But what really got me freaked out that her sister She was also going through that too. I mean, she already have, you know, she's circumcised too, and she got pregnant about like a year ago, and her baby died because of that thing, because it didn't came out.
You sure?
Yeah.
Why don't they just do a cesarean section then?
Yeah.
Well, that's why she told me. She said the doctor, well, she's in England, her sister.
Mm-hmm.
She said that the doctor was trying to take the baby out, and the pain was enough for her, and the doctor said that either it's going to be you or the baby. So they have to remove the baby. And unfortunately, she was like, you know, obviously she's going to cry and everything, but
right.
I got concerned about mine because I...
How does the pregnancy occur in the first place if the vagina is sewn shut? You got three musicians here with their jaws on the ground, by the way. I don't think you guys ever heard of this, have you? The female genital...
I was thinking that, like, if it...
It's called female genital mutilation, not circumcision. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, just, I mean, how, if that was done and there's no sexual intercourse...
Yeah, how do you have sex with somebody with the vagina basically sewn shut? Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, doctor, okay, here's what it is. Okay, let's say if the whole vaginal, like, region was, let's suppose, it's 4 inches. Okay, I'm just speculating. 4 inches? No, the half of it is sewn.
Yeah, I know. I understand. I know what they do. I understand. I've read about these. I've never seen one, but I've read about these things. And I believe they can be reopened surgically, by the way. So that's one possibility for you guys.
Yeah, they can. And I told her about it. And she's like, no, it's okay. My mom had it that way. My mom had the babies. Her mom had it soon, too. Like, and she's like, you know what? I'm not going to. I'm like, okay. You know,
I'm surprised we're worrying about the delivery. The delivery thing, I'm not worried about. Because you could just have a planned cesarean section and that's that. Now, maybe the sister somehow got in the way of, you know, granting consent for a cesarean section, but you should plan on cesarean. Forget about the vaginal delivery of the baby. What about you guys actually enjoying your sexual relationship or having effective sexual relationship if she's all sewn shut?
The relationship is healthy. We're having great sex so far.
Oh, so it's not impairing that in any way.
It can't be reopened.
It can be, but she doesn't want to do it for some reason. But you're doing well sexually together.
Yeah, we're doing fine. I mean, it's good for me because obviously it's a little short passage, but again, it's fine. She's happy with it. I mean, everything is perfect.
She doesn't hurt. No pain for her.
Yeah, no.
That, by the way, Eli, is one of the strange...
Did he say short passage?
He said he called it a little... Okay. No,
I want to make sure I heard that right.
A little short passage is what he described it as. I love his use of language. But the interesting thing, Eli, about many of these procedures is that women still function oftentimes fairly well sexually. So, you know, it's less of an impact on their sexual function than you would imagine. God only knows the trauma they went through to have this stuff done. I mean, that's really more concern to me. But even women that have clitorectomies, which some of these countries do, they still are able to have orgasms and things. So it's like Eli's living proof that they can still be sexually active. Eli, would be focusing on a cesarean section. That's why take any risks? And by the way, if I were a woman, I'd want to have a cesarean section. Do you know what a baby's head does to a woman's pelvis? It just tears it apart. They end up with everything prolapsing out. I mean, it's unpleasant. The incontinent of urine and stool for, you know, the more babies, the worse things get. So, I don't know why God planned it that way, but so there you go. Let's try another call. You guys ready for this? Sex still sounding sexy to you guys? It's good? Brian, Scott, everything's right?
Good, all
right,
good. The vagina was already confusing to me.
Oh, now it's all, forget, well, it's all closed off to you now. It's
you
all
still
don't
have to do this, the husband stitch.
Somebody's got, that whole thing's going to rip apart, though, if they do the baby thing. Got to get me that anatomy book. I got to give these guys a little lecture here.
No, that's
Ashley, what's going on?
That's okay.
Hello?
Hi, Ashley. I'm with Fred Durst, Scott Thomas, Brian Bell.
Hi, okay. I've been with my girlfriend for a year and 2 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you're a lesbian.
For the past 8 months, she's been using a strap-on on me.
You're a lesbian.
And just recently, I've started bleeding. Even when she uses her fingers, like, I don't know, I've just been bleeding.
Vaginally. Yeah. Vaginal bleeding. And, your periods have been normal?
Yeah.
And so having penetrative sex is what has led to you bleeding. Is that right?
Yes.
I'm getting diagrams out for these guys. Is that correct, Ashley? Having something penetrate you is what causes the bleeding? I think they may sew from the bottom up. They sew sort of this way. Ashley, correct?
Yes.
Well, that happens. That's not uncommon. A lot of women have a little bleeding every time they have intercourse. So okay. you've just started having intercourse.
No, we've been doing it for a long time.
I thought you said she just started using a strap-on.
For the past 8 months, yeah.
8 months. And when did the bleeding start?
This week.
Are you on the birth control pill or anything?
No.
Well, when was the last time you had a pap smear?
I haven't had one.
Okay. Well, that's not okay, right? You're sexually active now. You can get cervical cancer. You can get infections. You're having bleeding. This is not necessarily normal. Probably is nothing at all, but you've never had a pap smear, so that's ridiculous. You need to have one, okay?
Okay.
All right. If you're going to be sexually active, you have to get a pap smear. Cervical cancer kills young women. It's not okay. This is, let's see, I'll look at some of these things. Kimmy, what's up, Kimmy? 16.
Hi. Yeah, I was asking about my boyfriend. He doesn't know that I'm not a virgin. He thinks I am, and he's really hyped up to take my virginity on my 16th birthday coming up. And I don't know how to tell him I'm not a virgin.
Just go to Somalia.
Huh?
Get everything all stitched up in Somalia? Gentlemen?
Huh?
She's 15. Well, how old were you when you lost your virginity?
I was 10.
10? That's not losing your virginity. That's you were sexually abused.
Yeah, I was.
Well, a lot of people give themselves a buy on that one, Kimmy. They kind of go, well, you know, that was a violent act of some criminal perpetrated on me. And it really wasn't offering something to someone else like a virginity.
Well, have you had sex since then?
I wouldn't bother about it, but I have a scar down there, and if he notices about it, he's going to ask about it.
He's not going to notice it. Come on, 16-year-old
How
guy.
Old is he?
16?
Yeah, he's not going to notice.
He's 17.
17, I beg your pardon. No way. Even if he does notice, it's gonna be not his concern.
He just assumed you were a virgin this whole time. How long have you been together?
7 months.
What happened to you at 10?
It was my older brother.
Oh my God. Have you had any treatment for that?
A few shrinks, but they all said I was fine.
Where's the brother now?
Sleeping next door.
okay.
He was 11, so I don't think he knew what he was doing as much as...
Who sexually abused him?
No one that I know of.
And somebody did. The 11-year-olds do not do that unless they've been sexually abused themselves. Or unless they're like neurologically impaired, something very wrong with them neuropsychiatrically. So something happened to him. Do your parents know that he was the perpetrator?
They don't know anything about it.
And you saw a psychiatrist and you told them what happened and they didn't do anything or report this?
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Yeah.
You told them what happened. You told them it was the brother and they didn't report it.
Yeah, two of them.
No, no way. No way. Who were these people?
I don't remember their names. Gretchen
or... No. I mean, where did you find them? How did you go to see them?
I don't know.
What was their training? How did you have to come by them?
We paid like $80 for it.
Why were you... Your parents didn't know anything and yet they were taking you to a mental health professional? I'm confused.
My school advised it when I was a kid.
Because?
I had tendencies.
Okay. After this rape?
Before and after.
Before the rape?
Yeah.
And you went to a psychiatrist or a psychologist and you told them what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Did they believe you?
I don't think they did.
Okay. Well, maybe that's why. Maybe you told it in such a way they couldn't quite get their head around what you were describing or something. It's not okay for you to live around your brother. Okay? Or at least if you do, it has to be highly supervised and people need to know what you're living with.
I'm not home a lot. I try and make it that way.
I bet. And that's a good plan. But this is a very, very serious situation. I would actually suggest... I would really think twice about becoming sexually active at your age. You're still not even 16 yet. You've been hugely traumatized. You were violent before for God knows what reason was going on in your home or what was going on to you psychiatrically. This is a very complicated situation. I would at least get your help, get help with somebody again. And I don't think she... What do you guys think?
Maybe wait for it to count. Wait a good long time. Is your brother still living with you then? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
What's your relationship like with him now?
really good. I mean, we don't talk a lot. We're not friendly or best friends, but...
Have you ever talked about that incident to each other?
No.
And what's the scar from?
That was just a really big accident. It was a pocket knife.
Okay, Kimmy, it's not making sense here. You understand our confusion? You're raped, and the rape caused a scar, and now it's a pocket knife. How did that happen? You sat on it?
It fell.
It fell?
Yeah. It was okay. On the bed.
All right. Now, so you have a scar from an accident, and that's what you're worried your boyfriend's going to see. Why don't you tell him about that? What does that have? That has nothing to do with the fact that you were raped. Yes or no?
Yeah, it doesn't. But...
Okay, well, there you go. Kimmy, okay. Are you in school now?
Now?
Yeah, not right this second. Do you go to school?
Yeah, I go to school.
Oh, and you're able to function okay at school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Just keep going to school. Don't get... My concern is when she starts to get sexually active, she's going to become very, very sexually active all of a sudden with all that trauma and stuff in the background. I get my crystal ball out. Kimmy, I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't like it. Slow down. Get some help. Talk to people about what happened to you. Get some assistance. This is not going to go very well, I'm afraid. All right, guys. Scott Thomas from Ringside, Brian Bell from Weezer, Fred Durst, Limp Bizkit. Everyone's stunned and amazed and quiet tonight because of all these heavy calls. Let's get some relationship calls going from you guys. 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be back with these guys after this.
Love Line. How do you want me to say it?
Love Line will be right back.
Love Line will be right back.
Love Line. Love Line. Love Line. Should we do what? Should we do what? Love Line. Should we do what? Should we do what?
Everybody, it's Love Line. Fred Durst still in here with us from Limp Bizkit. We got Brian Bell from Weezer, Scott Thomas from Ringside, a little later, Wes Scantlin from Puddle of Mud. Let's get a couple of calls in here before the next break. This is Katie. Katie, what's happened there?
Hi.
Hey.
Well, I had a question for you. Mm-hmm. I am in a totally happy relationship, and I love my boyfriend, and we have great sex, and I have no trouble orgasming just in general, but sometimes I just gets dry, and I don't know why.
Gentlemen, she gets dry.
Well, you know, that's your area.
Oh, me? Yeah. That's my area? You guys don't have an opinion about that?
I think it's her area.
Dryness?
I mean, does it...
That's like a medical problem, or...
It can be. It can be. Let me ask a couple questions. How long are you having sex before the dryness hits?
Well, and I guess this is why I'm calling, because it bugs him more than it bugs me. Like, I know that...
How long?
Sometimes it just doesn't happen at all. Like, we'll be, you know, getting into it and starting things up, and he gets discouraged because he feels like he's not making me happy, and I'll be mentally really into it.
All right. Are you on birth control pill or shot? Which one?
Yeah, I'm on Loestrin.
Okay. So the low-dose pills, which Loestrin is, can cause dryness. So you might want to talk to your doctor about an estrogen suppository, like there's something called Vagifem. It has an estrogen, huh?
That makes me mad because I've talked to them about it, and I asked them specifically if it was about that, and they were like, oh, no.
It happens. It happens quite a bit. So they may not be aware of it, or maybe they haven't seen it, but it does happen. And in fact, so much so that some of these vaginal estrogen creams and suppositories specifically sort of talk about that in some of their package insert material. Okay?
Okay.
So that's one thing you do. Or you can get in a pill that's not so low dose, has more estrogen involved with it, perhaps. But that's it. That's what the problem is, I'm sure. Okay?
Really? Well, that's
I'm pretty
crazy.
Sure.
And by the way, listening to those calls, good Lord, I'm glad that you took a break before you came on to me because those were much bigger problems.
We had a pretty heavy run there for a while there. I think the ringside music inspired it. We had
sorry about that.
Heavy stuff, yeah.
All right, well, thanks a lot.
Hey, Katie, were you ever on any other birth control pills?
I can't remember the name of it anymore. I think it was ortho-tricycline.
Right.
That's
did
what
you have
I
the
started on.
Did you have this problem with that one?
You know, I don't really remember. It was.
Yeah, I bet not. And of course, you use the lubricants, all that kind of good stuff. All right, there you go.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye bye.
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 All right, this is, we have any time here? We have just a few seconds. Terry, what's up?
Hi, Dr. Drew. My question is, how can I keep my girlfriend interested romantically while being in a long-distance relationship?
How far?
She's in Seattle, Washington, and I'm here in Phoenix, Arizona.
Who went away to where?
I went away to
College.
Yeah, college.
From Seattle.
Uh huh.
What do you guys think?
How about letters, handwritten letters?
Yeah. How about they just let it go?
I mean, both see, in college. I'm swept away. Suddenly, I'm imagining this perfect.
They're 18. They go to college.
That will happen naturally anyway. In the meantime, write some letters.
And how about web these days? They have webs and web cameras.
No.
You just need the letter.
The handwritten letter.
These kids write emails. They don't write.
I know.
Handwritten. I see handwritten. I'm not sure handwriting's been taught anymore. They all use keyboards. But I believe though that these relationships that people try to cling to when they're moving away to college are big mistakes. Big mistake, because they have huge pieces of themselves tied up somewhere else. They miss their opportunity to sort of explore themselves in college. They have one crack at this, and they're going to relinquish it to the relationship that's going to end anyway. It's a 17, 18-year-old relationship. Those don't last forever. We have to
forget what I said.
It's all good. I'm just saying. Scott Thomas, ringside, Brian Bell, Weezer. Of course, Fred Durst in here, Wes Gantlin coming in a little while. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. Yeah, there you go. Fred Durst in here with the night. And now joining us, Wes Scantlin from Puddle of Mud. Wes, thank you for joining us again. We haven't seen you in a long time.
It's really, really nice to be back, man.
It's been a year and a half, couple years?
I don't even know, man.
Something like that. And Fred and I were talking last night, and he told me a great story about you.
Okay.
Well, about how you guys very first met, even before you met.
Right.
In other words, you were playing at a stadium, I guess, right?
Yeah. Kemper Arena, Kansas City.
In Kansas City. And Fred said he was walking backstage, and some lunatic was being escorted off by security guards, screaming, "I just got to meet Fred Durst."
He must have had a demo or something.
It impressed him.
Gave my guy Richie.
So he said, "Wow, that guy really wants to meet me." And you went and got the tape, or you found the tape?
Well, he gave it to my security guard,
right.
Richie. I mean, what's your story? I mean, it's like you were living it. I was just going backstage.
I mean, I wasn't going to go to the concert. My buddy kind of dragged me there, and we had some free tickets. And the next thing you know, a buddy of mine had some fake backstage passes. And I wrapped one around my neck, and I got back there, and he got back there. And the next thing you know, we're, like, talking to Fred's security guard, Richie. And, you know, I had a tape with me, and... you know, I was like, "Here, man, go ahead, have fun throwing it away," you know, because you know it was basically
it wasn't quite as dramatic.
End of the line, you know, for me. But luckily and fortunately, was saved.
Well, he found it and go tell your story, the story, Fred, from there.
Well, you know, I was getting ready for the show. I put the tape in and really liked it and realized that it was a cassette tape with no information on it. So except for some song titles scribbled on it. So we didn't really know how to get in touch with Wes. And after the tour, we started the own search to get in touch with Wes. And it was kind of difficult. And
he went out. I mean, he really went out looking for you.
Yeah,
impressed him.
It was a bitch, I guess.
Forget that it was a bitch to find you. I think how impressed he was by your music that he went out and really started looking for you.
That's
a big deal, right?
That's good stuff.
He's talented, man. Story. It's just amazing how things happen sometimes.
And we're going to get a piece of him in about 20 minutes after the next break. He's going to come out with a song that's never been heard before and never even been recorded, I guess, right?
I think it has been recorded demo style.
Yeah, it's been recorded demo style.
And just kind of like the usual, you know, writer's demos and copyright stuff. So it's like one of those types of things
where he
hasn't... No one's ever heard of it. That's all I can say.
It's called Schizophrenic Psycho.
Cool. All right, let's take some calls here. I want to finish with a ringside question. Jennifer, what's up?
I just wonder when Ringside is putting out another single on the radio. I know that they played Tired of Being Sorry a lot, but I was hoping that they were going to put Struggle or the song he just... What was that song he just played on the piano?
Criminal.
Criminal. Are they going to be putting that on the radio anytime soon?
Well, it was just on the radio, so that's a
send your cards and letters into into your local radio station, and maybe it will be.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
They will be playing at the Viper Room in Los Angeles in Hollywood on February 24th. They're also headlining at the Troubadour on March 17th. You get tickets in advance at troubadour.com. Also, they have a website, ringsideband, one word, .com. All right, let's take some more calls here. This is Anna. What's up, Anna?
Hi.
Hey, you're on with Wes Gallen and Fred Durst.
Oh, I just wanted to say to Fred Durst, you rule and everything, and this is my first time calling.
Good.
And I wanted to talk to you about masturbating.
Over-masturbating?
Yes. Can it be a problem?
Yeah, some people. What's happening?
I actually do it, like, every 3 days. Is that, like, a problem, like, why?
No.
Pansy!
Where would you come to think that was a problem?
I just recently ended up going, ow, it hurts when I go to the bathroom. When I go number one.
Yeah, well, you've given yourself a urine infection. You got to go talk to your doctor before they get some into your kidneys. Pushing around down there, you can push some bacteria up into your bladder.
Sorry. I was going to say, my friend gave me this idea. It was a really stupid idea. She was drunk when she did it and everything. She used a hose and water. Is that, like, a problem?
Can I say douche?
Yes. The way that she got her arousal from no batteries. That's what she said.
Yeah, I think she was so drunk that she wasn't able to express to you what it was she was doing. I think what she was doing was taking the faucet, either from the bathtub or off the shower handle, and putting that against the outside where the clitoris is, and using the water pressure. Like if you pushed up against a water jet in a jacuzzi, a lot of women do that. She didn't put a hose inside her, Anna.
Okay, that's why I didn't understand her that well.
I get it. Nothing goes inside. I'm explaining it now. Nothing goes outside. Nothing goes inside. It all stays on the outside, okay? And all you're pushing around down there, again, you got a little short urethra there, and that pushes the bacteria up into the bladder, and you get a bladder infection, and that's what you got going. And if you don't get it treated, if you don't see a doctor about it, that can get up in your kidneys. If you do not get it treated, it can get up into your kidneys and cause a very serious infection.
Yeah. Are you with me? Yep. It only happened one time. It only happened one time, that, and I haven't done it since. And I haven't done it for the last 4 days.
You haven't had any urinary discomfort in four days?
No, I have not. I haven't done it whatsoever. I've totally forgot about it.
I must be like irritable or depressed or something. I'm so frustrated with our callers.
Next caller, please.
Anna?
She's not listening to you.
They don't listen? Yes, is that what it is?
Yeah.
All right. See your doctor. You have a urine infection. The infection gets your kidneys. It can kill you if you don't get it treated. Okay? There you go. That's it. You may not be having active symptoms right now, but the fact that you did have them is very concerning, and you need to check that out. Emily, 19.
Hi.
Hey.
I am a virgin, and I've never, like, really had a deep relationship or anything. And I'm just wondering, you know, when I do get in a relationship, preferably when I'm married, I don't know what... Because I'm physically handicapped, and I can't feel anything down there or anything like that.
What happened? What's the problem?
I was born with spina bifida.
Okay. Spina bifida means the bone that gets around the spinal column, the spinal cord, doesn't close all the way. And there's different degrees of it. I mean, sometimes the spinal cord itself can be just flapping out in the breeze. And that's when it's way open like that, that's when you get paralyzed below your waist, basically.
Right.
Do you have orgasmic function?
I'm just wondering, like, am I able to have an orgasm and, like, the normal pleasure, like, a normal person would have, a normal woman?
Not necessarily. Some people can. It really depends on you and your physiology.
Okay.
Have you tried?
I guess, I don't know. I don't know anything because I've never really experienced it, so.
You haven't tried masturbating or anything like that?
No, I was sexually abused.
Oh, my God. With the spina bifida?
Yeah.
Who was it?
I'd rather not say, but yeah.
A family member?
Yeah.
Have you had treatment for this?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm pretty much over it now. I've forgiven him.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that can happen if it was painful and you were very young, it can affect the way your brain perceives input, sensory input from that part of your body. It can make things numb just having had that experience. Forget the spina bifida.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so there's a lot of things going on here. Okay?
Okay. So, like, I guess, I mean, so I won't be able to experience what...
I didn't say that. I said you're going to... I can't say what you are or are not going to be able to experience or not experience. You're going to have to experiment. You're going to have to figure this out for yourself. It's very hard to predict. You've had two experiences or two sort of physiologic phenomena. One is painful sexual abuse and the other is spina bifida that can certainly affect your sexual performance. If you have a lot of difficulty, you can continue to get treatment to see if something can be restored. Marcy, what's up?
Hi.
Hey, you're on with we're good, Wes Scanlon and Fred Durst.
Fred, you're my hero.
Oh.
You're awesome. I just want to tell you that. But the reason that I'm calling is because I am a dancer, and I am in a relationship with a guy that doesn't know that I'm dancing. And, you know, we've kind of, like, I didn't think it was important.
Announce it for a friend.
What's that?
Oh, Wes, this, it could be good for you.
Marcy, stage five.
Well, go ahead. What is it? What is your question?
My question is, I want to tell the guy that I'm with, you know, but my experience is that guys really don't like to know that you're a dancer, you know, so.
Tell us about the guy first. Where'd you meet him? What's he do for a living?
Well, he is actually a student at San Diego State, and I met him just in class. We were working on a project together, but we've been dating now for like 4 months. And
well, hang on.
How old is he?
You met him in class, that we said?
Yes, I did.
How old are you?
I'm 35.
You're in San Diego State at 35?
I am.
What are you studying? She's just working her way through college. Guys, give her a break. Sure, you love her.
I think that you should invite him to the club and have some buddies bring him down and just come out on stage and rip it.
knew I could count on Wes. Well, Marcy's multi-orgasmic, too. Yes? You're that caddy. Yes.
Well, I mean, you definitely should tell him. I mean, you shouldn't care what he's going to think if it's something you do. You should just, my suggestion is to not keep it a secret anymore. You know, maybe. What do you think, Drew?
Yeah. How old is he?
He's 35.
He's 35 too?
Yeah.
What's he doing? Is he dancing too for a living and keeping it secret from you? What is he doing?
He's going into med school, and so this is like
boring.
Yeah.
He's not going into med school.
And I'm very not conservative, but, I mean, he's a good guy. So, you know.
Well, so he's what has he been doing all these years?
Well, he worked for the phone company, and he thought after a while that he didn't want to just be a telephone line man for a long time. So he went back to school.
To try to get into med school?
Well, this is his last semester, and he's applied to a bunch of different med schools, so...
Well, that's not necessarily a good sign. A bunch of different schools. How's it looking?
Well, it's looking like, there's two possibilities. One is in Hawaii and one is in St. Louis. St. Louis is a little cold, so I'm shooting for Hawaii for him.
But has he had interviews at both?
He has, yeah.
Okay. All right, good. Marcy, let's go back to the orgasmic function thing. Are you one of these people that have multiple orgasms?
Absolutely.
Yeah, see, I can just pick
How
that.
How did you do
I
that?
I just can... Just
unbelievable.
So just to clarify what that is, you're someone that has like one right after the other. Like you can have like 40.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This is a specific version of the female. This is a genetic thing. And they will have just, it starts immediately. And you don't like oral sex very much, right?
Oh, I love oral sex.
Oh, you like oral sex too? Because usually women that have these multiple orgasm syndromes, they don't, oral sex is sort of irritating.
They
it's
just
want
to get down to business.
It's just uncomfortable. It's too intense. And
oh my
so,
God, no, I love it.
You like that too. Okay. But they will have like one pow, 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 pow. They actually will have them until exhaction. And that's sort of that.
Well, tell me how you knew that. How you...
I just... I mean, talked to lots of people.
Voice.
Yeah,
a voice
yeah.
or something.
Really?
To
laugh. Yeah.
Yeah. You
yeah.
guys are on I don't fire.
Know. It's just yeah. Wes knows too. See. No, it's just I'm a funny. Kinda... It's a specific syndrome. I can't always pick it out, but oftentimes I can.
Yeah.
All right, my dear.
Being a dancer for a while, you know, you become a little bit more in tune with your body. So.
No, I'm not sure that has anything to do with it, really. I really don't, because this is a pretty well been shown to be a genetic thing. It's something you're kind of born, yeah, this potential. Yeah, you can't take it out of you, and you can't turn somebody into you. It just doesn't work like that.
Huh.
So anyway, we're basically saying that you should be honest with this guy.
Well, I mean, if it turns anything, the longer you wait, the more he's going to have a reason to go, you kept it from me for that
right.
long. You know,
and you can always decide to stop doing the dancing if it really bothers him, right?
Well, I could, except I have kids, so I'm a single mom, and so that's what I do to support them, so.
Well, would you be willing to eventually, if he could support you?
Oh, yeah, of course, but.
All right, good. Okay,
I'm
that's a good sign.
I'm an independent girl, though, too, so.
I hear you. All right, where do you dance? In Las Vegas, this note says here?
Yeah, I dance in Las Vegas, yeah. San Diego is horrible.
So you would get on a plane every weekend and go to Las Vegas?
Yeah, I commute every weekend.
Where's the guy think you're going?
Well, he knows that I work in Las Vegas, and he knows that I work in a club, but he doesn't know that it's a strip club.
Oh. He probably can figure it out. Marcy, he probably...
Well, he's asked it dumb, too, and I'm like, I don't know if that's such a good idea, you know? So it's kind of at the place right now where it's like, you know, I am not a liar, you know, but I don't...
You know, if he gets into medical school, you're not going to see him for 8 years. Are you ready for that?
Well, I'm kind of taking this a day at a time.
Okay,
you know?
Fair enough.
He'll have no
fair
money
enough.
For 8 years, too.
He will have no. That's true. He'll have no money for 8 years, also. Well, she'll be supporting.
So your job is 43 dancing.
Yeah, her job.
Vegas.
Well, whatever. All right, Marcy. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Good luck. Bye bye. Yowie. Rob, what's up?
Yo, what's cracking, young Logs?
You're on with Wes from Puddle of Mud and Fred Durst.
Yeah. Big up. Big up. How y'all doing?
Good. Good.
Rob.
Good. Man. Good.
Rob just smoked out while he was waiting on the phone here.
My name is Rob Dog, and I'm from Northern California.
Rob Dog Spicoli?
The Coley Cali, you don't know.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
All I need is some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Video for many times about kids that smoke at a young age, they grow man boobs. What is this all about?
They can. It basically enhances circulating levels of estrogen. When you hit puberty as a male...
I started smoking when I was 13.
I'm not saying you necessarily... I understand what you're doing. Dude, oh man, that laugh.
We were hoping it wasn't Paul.
Oh well, I'm hoping. We're all hoping. I got two questions for you.
Well, hold on. So it's possible, not necessarily the case, but it happens that the pot, if you stop smoking around the time puberty begins, if you start smoking then, can suppress the levels of testosterone and raise the levels of estrogen. Mostly this is sort of adrenal gland production of hormone, and young males will get man boobs. Some of them get it anyway during the early parts of puberty, but it can be enhanced by the marijuana.
Yeah. And also, I've heard you talk about ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
And how it makes you stay at home.
Eventually, you start getting panic attacks and agoraphobia, yeah.
And what is that all about? Like,
The brain damage. It causes a brain injury to the central part of the brain.
Central part of the brain.
Yeah, part of that sustains your mood. Wes is shaking his head vigorously. The part of your brain that you need...
Big up, big up. You don't know. Select the walla.
Rob Dog, man, I tell you, buddy.
Weezer, you know, hey, that sweatshirt song where I unravel your sweater.
Rob, I put down my crystal ball again. I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't like it. I'm sorry, buddy. It's frightening me. In fact, I had a little chill when I looked into that ball. I had to turn away.
The ball's gruesome. I'm looking right at it.
Yeah, fortunately,
a
little haze has developed because even the crystal ball couldn't clear all the smoke out of the vicinity where you are. But it doesn't look good. So, buddy, just keep it in mind when the time comes and you're ready to do something about this, you're going to need a little help. Wow, what interesting call.
Case study.
Yes, yes. Okay, let's see. Boyfriend is. This is Lauren. What's up, Lauren?
Not much.
You're on with Fred Durst and Wes Scantlin. Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit, and Wes from Puddle of Mud.
Hey.
Yeah, Fred Durst, that's awesome.
Lauren, you're awesome. Let's get to it. Here we are.
Yeah, so my question is, I've been with this guy for about 2 years, and he's the greatest guy ever. It's been the most healthiest relationship that I've ever had. But,
so you got that means you got to screw it up. You have got to screw that up. So what have you been doing?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So,
well, if you anybody opens with, she opens with, it's the only healthy relationship I've ever been in. That means
it really is, though.
I get that. That means you're somebody that is driven and attracted to chaos and unavailable men. So when you actually get a guy that's available, you got to F that up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
because your dad was the abandoning alcoholic, whatever he was.
No. I actually have a great family life. My parents are incredibly great parents.
No way.
I mean, no, they are. They're great.
Are both of them your biological parents? They're your biological parents?
Yes, exactly.
Both of them?
I've never even heard of a better family than mine. I mean, my grandparents, my family, everyone's great.
All right. Then if that's the case, Lauren, if that's the case, you're 21, it's time to get over this. It's time to get over the bad boy thing.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's not a bad boy. He's actually very loyal. He's very genuine. It's me. I keep
looking
for something better.
Yes, you keep looking for the bad boys.
For no reason, though. So
you keep looking for the bad boys. Lauren, you keep looking for the bad boys, correct?
Yes.
It's time to get over that. If you really had the greatest life and your childhood was wonderful and everything is healthy and your relationships and you can have intimacies that are good and sustained and whatnot, it's time to grow up. It's time to stop the bad boy thing, which every girl gets to go through. It's time to grow up, time to get over that, time to have a real relationship.
Well, is there any reason why, is it just I'm an idiot, or is there any psychological reason why I would just always be looking for something better and cheating on my boyfriend, or is it...
The typical reason is, the most common reason, the one that we hear over and over again in this show, is dad takes off, or dad's an alcoholic, dad somehow abandons you in some meaningful way emotionally, and thereby emotionally abandoning men become extremely attractive to you. Now, either your parents are not as great as you think they are, or it's time for you to get over this. Those are your choices. Or you were adopted or something and never knew it. I mean, some really serious abandonment happened early, and you just didn't even know about it. I mean, there are things like that can happen. Or you're bipolar, and you're manic, and you're running around doing stuff and can't contain impulses. Or you're an addict. Addicts sometimes do stuff like this.
Well, I've considered that I've been bipolar before, but I never really believe in that whole thing that drugs can actually help you, you know, like the Prozac and whatever.
Lauren,
things like that.
You're not a doctor. You're not a doctor.
Oh, I'm not trying to diagnose myself. I listen to your show all the time.
Okay,
I love it.
No, you are, though, a little bit. You're saying you've decided, you don't know what bipolar is, but you already decided that medications are unacceptable for you. So you maybe ought to see somebody, go see a psychologist, somebody who doesn't use medication, and get an evaluation and see what is going on here. How about that?
Well, okay.
That would be good, right?
Yeah. Can I just say one thing to Fred Durst?
What is it?
When I was about 14 years old, Limp Bizkit, as much as, you know, I don't know how you feel about that whole era right now, but you're like the first, you and Wes Borland are the first people that actually got me into rock music. So I just want to thank you for that I love all that music and everything, and I used to go to your...
Okay, how long do you got that, Anderson? Anderson?
What?
You can't use the F word, Lauren. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
Let me ask something. Were you not sexually abused? You were not raped, and you were not physically abused.
Not as far as I know. I mean, if I was, it would have been when I was so young that I would have blocked it out. But I don't remember anything like that ever.
Okay,
so.
And no rapes or anything like that in a teenager?
No, I mean, I lost my virginity when I was very young, but it wasn't a rape.
How old? How old?
Barely 15.
Okay. I look into this. I mean, if you can contain it and have happy relationships, don't worry about it. You just need to grow up. But if you can't, it'd be time to look into it. Okay?
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Good luck.
Bye.
All right, gentlemen. We're going to take a break. And we're going to come back with Fred. And we're going to come back with Wes. And Wes is going to sing for us. Sound good?
Right on.
All right. Let's take a break. 1-800-LOVE-191. Then we'll take some more calls. But we're very excited about hearing this song from Wes from Puddle of Mud.
Love Line. We'll be right back. Be right back.
That's right, here it is, Loveline. Fred Durst in with us all week, 1-800-LOVE-191. It's been a very interesting, exciting night. Had some heavy calls and some crazy calls, and we heard from Ringside. Scott Thomas sang for us earlier. Brian Bell backed him up. We're from Weezer. And now we have the great good fortune of having Wes Scantlin in here from Puddle of Mud. Fred,
yeah,
tell
we
us
do.
About
you
it.
Know, Wes Scantlin is just an unbelievable influence in my life. When I first heard him play and sing, it just blew my mind. And so
he went out on a search for him. Let's search the country for
well,
him.
Well, you know, at the time I was vice president of Interscope Records, and I wanted to sign Wes, and everybody didn't see it over there at the time. And I went on a limb and said, you know what, I want to resign from that, and I want to start my own label.
That's what started your own label, right?
It was
wow.
Wes. And
wow.
You know, I just think he's one of the most talented people that I've ever met, and he's really, really good, and as raw as it gets is what you're going to hear here tonight, and I'm just glad he's a part of the Flawless family, and I'm one of his biggest fans in the world. And ladies and gentlemen, this is Wes, and maybe you want to say something, Wes?
This song's called Schizophrenic Psycho.
Here we go.
Maybe I'm the one, maybe I'm the one who is the schizophrenic psycho, yeah. Maybe I'm the one, maybe I'm the one who is the schizophrenic psycho. She lays down on the fresh lawn, she can make everything magical, but she tied one on big time, and it makes me wanna rewind to back in the days when we were young, when everything was like a loaded gun, ready to go off it in a minute, and you know we're gonna win again. Yeah, you know we're gonna win again. Yeah, you know we're gonna win again. Maybe I'm the one, maybe I'm the one who is the schizophrenic psycho, yeah. Maybe I'm the one, maybe I'm the one who is the paranoid flake, oh yeah. Schizophrenic psycho. She lays down on the sidewalk, never very analytical. She is something simply beautiful. Reappear when you feel magical. Back in the days when we were young, when everything was like a loaded gun, ready to go off at any minute, and you know we're gonna win again. Yeah, you know we're gonna win again. Yeah, you know we're gonna win again. Maybe I'm the one, maybe I'm the one who is the schizophrenic psycho, yeah. Maybe I'm the one, maybe I'm the one who is the paranoid flake. Oh, I'm the one, I'm the one who is the schizophrenic psycho.
That was amazing.
Amazing.
That was amazing. Oh, I wish you people could have just seen this performance, but you heard it first right here, I guess. Right, Drew?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Thank you.
You're welcome, guys.
Very appropriate for tonight's content.
I think so.
All right, let's take some calls, shall we? Appreciate that, Wes. That's Wes, Puddle of Mud. Can anybody get that song anywhere?
Not yet.
Not yet. You guys coming out with a new album or new single? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When's that, when can we look forward to that?
Please, please.
Just watch out. That's all we can say.
Look out.
Pay attention. All right, here's Mike. What's up, Mike?
Dr. Drew?
Fred just punched Wes. Yeah, Mike, what's going on?
I was just calling to actually ask you guys a question.
All right.
About a couple months ago, I got in a snowboarding accident where I ruptured my spleen.
Nice.
And, I had to get airlifted from actually Big Bear down to Loma Linda Hospital, and they had to put a catheter in me because I was in really bad shape.
They had to operate on you?
No, they didn't have to operate on me. I ended up getting through it, but I still had to have a catheter for about 7 to 8 days.
Nice.
And basically, when I got out of the hospital, I've been with this girl for about 2.5 years.
How long ago was this you were in the hospital?
About 4 months ago, 5 months ago.
All right.
And so... Basically, what ended up happening was is I got out of the hospital, and what happened was we went to, you know, do it, and I couldn't get an erection anymore. Like, I was trying, and, like, you know, I'd never had this problem before in my life, and then...
Was this the first time with this girl?
No. She's been my girlfriend of a couple of years, actually.
Mm-hmm. And has this happened again since, or have you tried again
since?
Yeah,
it's happened a lot of times.
Uh-huh.
And so I went to a doctor about it, and he told me that he said something like, I made myself nervous. And so he said that he wanted to give me something called Cialis.
Yeah, it's like Viagra.
Yeah, something like that, to, like, give me a boost of confidence.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so...
Were you nervous that things weren't going to work?
Yeah, basically, like, after that first time happened, I got really freaked out. And
yeah.
So,
I think the doctor's doing the right thing.
Yeah, so he gave me the Cialis, and it worked for a while. Like, he said it was going to boost my confidence so I wouldn't be scared anymore, like so I wouldn't make myself nervous. But it still periodically happens. Like,
even with the Cialis?
Yeah, even with the Cialis.
I'm not too... convinced about Cialis, I got to tell you. That's the one that, with my patients, is least likely to be effective.
Really?
So you might want to switch over to Viagra or something else.
Try out Viagra?
Or Levitra. That one works pretty well, too. But Cialis, I'm sort of unconvinced about. The other thing, Mike, are you on medication now?
No, I'm not on any medications. I was taking Vicodin for a while for the pain, uh-oh, but, I mean, I stopped taking
it. Yeah, that'll
like
mess it up.
Ago.
Vicodin will really screw up your sex drive. Anything, nothing else you're taking?
No, it was just Vicodin.
You should, well, that could be, that was up until 3 months ago why you were having the problem, no doubt.
Yeah.
And in addition now, you should still see a urologist just to discuss this, have somebody check it out, make sure nothing has happened. I doubt it, probably something that will recur, but there are things that can happen after a big injury like that, and I would just get it checked out. This is Sarah, what's up?
Hi.
Hey, Sarah, you're on with Wes Scantlin from Puddle of Mud and Fred Durst.
Oh, hello. You guys are amazing. But Dr. Drew, I'm really, really amazed with you.
I have a question.
Yeah. I gave myself an orgasm at a very, very young age.
How old?
I was like maybe fourth grade.
Okay.
On accident. But when I realized what I did it a lot to myself.
Hold on. And what was the accident?
Well, It wasn't really an accident, but I didn't know that what I was doing was really sexual at the time because it was before I realized it.
Let me guess. The shower?
No.
Good guess, though, Wes. Good one.
It wasn't the shower. You're not going to believe me, but I was thinking of something that I didn't know turned me on at the time.
Right.
And I'd thought about it. I used to think about stories to get myself to put myself to sleep at night,
right.
And apparently I was turned on by this, and it gave me an orgasm, and I realized what it was because in magazines and stuff it said stuff about the big O, and I realized that that's what it was. So anyway, I did it a lot and have been doing it a lot to myself, and I know exactly I could get myself off in 2 minutes. I cannot get off with anybody.
anybody. And I've tried to think about, like, things, you know, to put myself, I can't do
it. All right, let me ask a couple quick questions. You mean by not doing it with anybody, you mean not with intercourse or not with anybody present?
No, with anything. I've had, I'm kind of between women and men right now. I don't really know. I can't get off with a guy at all. I don't think I like sex with men, really. But even with women, like, people have gone down on me, everything that there is to do. And
what do you think, Wes? Wes has an opinion about this.
You're gonna have to lay off the
vibrator and stuff. Whatever.
The batteries.
It's not a vibrator. I don't ever use a vibrator.
You're fat.
And I
even
never
though I like that kind of stuff.
What are you using?
I use my fingers. And I never go inside ever.
Let's our fingers do the walking.
Hmm. Wow.
I don't. I mean, it's funny because I've thought, can you help me? Is this like a mental thing that I'm just not gonna get past?
Why don't you do you ever try to stimulate yourself when you're with another person?
Uh-huh. And it's happened, maybe I've been able to do that twice with a female partner, but it's not them touching me, it's me, and I'm not anywhere. My mind is somewhere else entirely.
At that, so being with the person is not a good thing?
No, never has been. And I don't know if I just, you know, screwed myself over because I did it when I was way too young.
No. I'll tell you what, though. Kids that start self-stimulating at a young age sometimes, or very often, I should say, come from terrifically chaotic homes. And was that your situation?
No, not chaotic. My dad went to jail for 3 years when I was in elementary school.
If I, by the way, had to define chaos, that would pretty much do it.
Really?
What's not chaotic about your dad having to be incarcerated when you're a little kid?
Okay.
So when there's unpleasant and overwhelming things happening in the home, the body tries to regulate itself, and stimulating genitalia is a way people try to use to sort of get relief. And that's a sort of precocious thing for a child to do, and it may affect how they develop sexually, maybe. You know, something going on there with all that. And having been through all that may make it difficult for you to be close to people, and certainly close to men, because dad was a criminal, and that doesn't, you know, that may be a very difficult thing for you. And the part of that closeness is being able to be sexual.
You see?
You sort of use sex as a way of closing off to the world and self-stimulating and trying to give yourself relief from the chaos of your family life, and you have trouble now opening to a relationship that's real.
Oh, that's absolutely
Makes sense?
True.
Yeah. And that's,
I can't have a relationship with anybody. My longest relationship was 3 years, and it was with a woman.
Right. And that's really the time for therapy, frankly. Go ahead, Wes.
Do you get any satisfaction from denying men?
From what?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Do you get any satisfaction or relief from denying a man what he really wants?
Depriving men.
Yeah, depriving him.
Honestly, I get more like satisfaction thinking about a man controlling me.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that weird?
Okay. That's
no, because that's the aggressive dad that was the criminal and stuff. You're attracted to that kind of thing.
Really?
But was dad kind of brutal?
Never at all. He's given me ever since he got back, he has broken his back to make it.
How about before he left? Before
never,
he left.
Ever. Loved
there was no
amazing
he was not a,
man.
Not a brutal out. Guy early.
No, he went for weed, so it was.
Where's
like,
my bourbon?
What did he go to jail for? He went for weed?
Pot. He was dealing. And I had no idea until recently, maybe like I learned about 4 months. I learned when I went back home for Christmas that that's what he went to.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Sarah, the difficulty with relationships is something that is typically treated in individual therapy and something effectively treated as such. And if you really have trouble being with another person, you said you can't have a relationship, that's not the most satisfying way to go through life. So I would definitely look into that. All right. Fred Durst, Limp Bizkit, still here. Fred, it's been a good week.
It's been a really good week. I've learned a lot and had a lot of fun,
and it
actually
continues. Wes Gallen, Puddle of Mud, thankfully you're back. I'm trying to remember when last time you were here. I swear it got to have been 2 years. Was it like that?
It's been a while.
You guys been touring since then?
We've done a few dates and been writing just a slew of songs and, you know, trying to dial it in the correct way.
And you're going back into the recording studio? And
yes, we are. And we're just trying to keep Puddle of Mud a timeless band, man. And that's what rock and roll is all about, man.
Do you have a date for a release we can look for?
Well, they're going in really soon to start their recording, and so just depends on, I guess, Wes at that point when he gets in there and how he's flowing. But he's, as you just heard, he's he's locked and loaded and ready to go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fact. And so.
And then Fred's other band, Ringside, will be playing at the Viper Room on February 24th and the Troubadour March 17th. Troubadour.com or ringsideband.com. Phone number here at Loveline is 1-800-LOVE-191. Wes Scantlin from Puddle of Mud. Fred Durst here with us. We'll be right back.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
More Loveline, Wes Scantlin, Puddle of Mud. Here he comes, right in with us. Fred Durst, Limp Bizkit, in with us this week. Fred and I we're just sort of winding down this lovely week we've had. It's been very good. I've really enjoyed it, man.
I've learned more this week in this field, I swear, than my 35 years. I can promise you, it's been fun.
Really, thank our callers. I mean, they're good enough to call in and share their lives with us when you get right down to it. Wes, yeah. This is a call for you, Travis.
Hey
Travis, what's up?
Oh, big fan of all you guys, pretty much. And I was just wanting to ask a question to, what's your name, Puddle Mud?
Wes.
Wes Scantlin.
Yeah.
Wes.
Well, I was wondering, like, when I listen to you guys, pretty much you sound a lot like Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if he's been some sort of an influence for you, or Nirvana, or who has?
Absolutely, Kurt Cobain was a definite influence. Elaine Staley from Alice in Chains, God rest his soul, God rest Kurt's soul, and the whole grunge movement, as well as Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, Pink Floyd. There's hundreds of artists that influence your writing style, and it's really hard for me to name everybody, but those are a couple of top few.
Excellent. Well, Kurt Cobain definitely kind of, you could hear the.
Yeah, he just qualities. You know, something in his voice it triggers a knee jerk resemblance, but it's still very much.
It's still
him.
West. It's just West. You know, West. There's no doubt about it. Natalie, what's up there?
Hey Drew, how are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm here with Fred Durst and Wes Scantlin.
Hi, Wes. Hi, Fred. Wes, thanks for the performance. That was awesome.
You're welcome.
All right, Drew, the question. Been with a guy for about 3 years now, and he still masturbates at least once a day. Minimum.
How often are you guys having sex?
If it's up to him, 5 times a day.
Ooh. Is he an addict? Is he...
I know somebody like that.
There are people that are that way, just they're that way. That
it's
happens.
Not me. It's my friend Gabe, and I know he's listening. He's a 5-time-a-dayer.
There's sort of 3 versions of that in the male.
Right.
One is a sex addict, and if that's the case, or a sexual compulsive, Wes is pointing himself. and the way you can sort of, you know, easily sort of screen for that is, were they sexually abused in childhood, and are they an addict to some other chemical? And if there's sexual abuse and addiction, that makes for a sex addict very commonly. Okay. Secondly, what's that? That's him?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Addiction.
All right.
Totally.
All right. Secondly,
childhood.
Hold on. Let me just review for people. Secondly is just being an addict generally. So addicts sometimes can get very sexually compulsive. Thirdly, bipolar disorder, manic depressive sometimes are this way. And then finally, there's just that guy. That's just his rhythm, his biology.
Okay.
It can be a normal thing. It's a little bit, it's much, I tell you where it gets a little abnormal again, if he's forcing that on a partner, if he demands that a partner keep up with that, it feels constantly empty and sort of unfulfilled if the partner doesn't constantly kind of put up with this. In his case, it sounds like he's kind of taking care of himself, which is a kind of a healthy thing to do.
God, I hope so.
How often are you guys actually having sex?
Usually once, twice a day, but this has been 3 years now. I mean, he's 30. This is not...
Does he have to, like, hang a bag of IV fluid every couple days or something? How does he keep this up?
B12.
You know, I really have no idea. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous. If I'm not around, he has to masturbate twice a day. If I'm there, he'll still masturbate once a day, always in the shower.
I don't know. And I'm starting to feel a little guilty because sometimes, you know, it's like, honey, I need to be able to walk later today. So we're just going to have to say no. And I kind of feel guilty. It's like every contact now I think is going to be sexual. And
oh, so you mean every time he kind of approaches you physically?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He probably is thinking that way, by the way. He probably is trying to make it sexual.
Seabiscuit, huh?
But this has been like years. Kind of, you know, I love him. But wow.
That could be normal.
It could be.
It's pretty normal.
It could be. It's a little suspicious.
What do you look like?
It could be.
I mean, are you beautiful? Do you have a nice body? I mean, are you sexy?
I hope so. Yeah, I guess, you know, I've never had any complaints. There you go.
To him, you are. Yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah. There's a lot that's good about this too, Natalie. I mean, he's not forcing you to do more than you can sort of come. He's sort of pushing the limits of it, but it's fine for you to, you know, once a day is more than enough. More than three times a week, you're sort of doing more than your duty, I'd say. I mean, if they've been together a long time. I think, you know, it sounds like you're sort of be more comfortable at maybe 3-4 times a week, and that's you. And he needs to compromise with that too. He's a big boy, so to speak. He's quite capable of taking care of himself, which it sounds like he does, and that's what he needs to do. Let's talk to Sarah. What's up?
Hey, Drew.
Sarah,
well,
what's happening?
I actually have a problem.
All right.
I am in love with my husband's best friend.
That's bad.
And it's been going on for years.
Oh, that's bad. Does he know?
He knows.
The husband knows and the best friend knows?
Yes.
Are you a Mormon?
Do I what?
Are you a Mormon?
No.
Everybody knows about this?
Yeah.
And what is the boy, best friend married, by the way?
No, he's not.
Okay. So what do you want to do?
I don't know. I really want to get over this this other guy, but he's consistently around. I mean, he's my husband's best friend.
And your husband keeps the guy around?
Yeah, you have to tell us a little bit more about your husband.
He's completely secure with himself. He does get jealous.
How old is he?
I reassured him that, you know.
Yeah, how dare you get jealous? I'm just sleeping with the best friend.
Myself.
Do you have a relationship with the best friend?
No.
Oh, you just
nothing
love him at a distance?
Nothing. It's okay, completely good. Emotional, sensual. It's just, it's the flirting, the conversations. I mean, I connect with him on such a deeper level than I do with my husband.
How old is your husband?
He is 26 and I'm 25.
And you've been married since you were how old?
I've been married since I was 19, but me and my husband have been together since we were 14. Sexually.
Oh, wow. Yeesh.
Do you have a feeling you're going to maybe cross the line with him eventually? Like, are you worried about that?
No. Fantasize about it, but I've made a promise to myself that I wouldn't hurt my husband.
All right, here's the deal. The guy's got, you got to be away from that boyfriend, or the best friend. That's it, period. You have to... Just the way if you were an addict, you'd have to stay away from the substance. You have to break the habit. You have to break the addiction. And you need months, if not years, away from this guy before you have any contact. Period. That's it. Otherwise, you're putting your marriage in jeopardy. If you are indeed committed to the marriage, you absolutely cut it off with that best friend. And if you can't do that, then you too need to get some couples counseling, figure out what's going on. Wes Scantlin's in here, Puddle of Mud. Fred Durst, we got to take yet a quick break, and we'll be right back.
If you need help,
call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Well, that about does it for a very interesting night of Loveline. That's Wes Scantlin taking us out tonight. Wes, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, man.
That was an amazing song tonight.
I had a great time with you.
Fred,
it's been a distinct pleasure. It's been a really cool experience.
So anytime, both you guys' doors always open. I mean, always. If you want to come up or you want to just at the last minute show up, you're welcome.
So, that's so cool.
So, and if you want to call your problems, we're always here.
Maybe
so,
I will. I don't have to say my name.
All right, we've got... we've got a bunch more stuff coming up the next few days. We've got Jada Pinkett Smith. We've got him coming in here. We've got a bunch of stuff on Loveline. So please stay tuned for upcoming shows. And until I see you next time, this is Dr. Drew saying good night and stay well. The part of your brain that you need.
Big up, you don't know, Selecta, Walla, ha, ha, ha. Weezer, you know, hey, that sweatshirt song where I unravel your sweater.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Gold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.